Hey, everybody. How are you this morning? Okay. We are in the second week of our teaching series. We've called it Laboratory, and the goal for this is, we tell you all the time, read your Bible and pray. But have you ever wondered how? And so what we're trying to do is offer some different perspectives, some different methods of how you can read Scripture, how you can pray. How many of you last week at least read your Scriptures three times? Okay, we're getting better. Good. Well, today we're going to be talking about prayer, and let's read some scripture together. You ready? Here we go. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. One verse. I know. How about them apples? But what we said last week was really more the time than not, two, three verses. You can spend a whole lot of time there. Today, one verse of Scripture. You know, when it comes to prayer, I think the tendency is we focus on mechanics more than we do the act of praying. So the question is, how am I supposed to pray? What's the right way to pray? Is there a wrong way to pray? How do I make sure to get the most out of the prayer? There are even books now that will tell you how to get all of your prayers answered. And then I imagine people feel ripped off because they didn't get a good return on their investment sometimes. Now, if we do that, if we focus only on the mechanics of prayer, the tendency is we lose sight of the fact that we are the seeker. God is the provider. Right? It isn't as if what we do is going to manipulate God, so God gives us what we want. The point is we come to God asking, we come to God seeking, we come to God with hope of connecting, with hope that God will provide for our needs, with requests or with prayers of thanks that you have already provided, and we recognize that God is God and that we're not, that God's here and we're here. And while he wants that love and connection with us, I mean, he's God and we're not. So, you know, part of it is get out of the mechanics. And you know what Ephesians 6:18 says to us is very, very simple. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, if we were to say a few things, notice what it says. All occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and praying for all the Lord's people. So how are we supposed to pray? All the time. All kinds of different prayers. All of God's people. Doesn't like give you a, you know, if you really want it to get answered. Or if you're really a, you know, AP prayer. No, it just says to pray. I mean, some of the different ways that we're going to offer you today, I like to think about, you can look at this laundry list of different ways of praying. You know, you might be an Acts-type prayer. What's an Acts-type prayer? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You might be a spiritual warfare kind of person where you're praying against evil or the influence of evil in people's lives. You might be a more contemplative person. We're all going to pray in different ways. And so myself, Travis, and Daryl are going to offer you some different ways of praying. One of the ways that I love to pray is to get away. I like to think of prayer as solitude. A couple times a year, I love to go to St. Meinrad Abbey. And it's in southern Indiana. You could also go to where'd Thomas Merton hang out. The Abbey of Gethsemane down near Bardstown. And get away and pray. Get away and be with God. Unplug from the iPads and the iPhones and the iMacs and the everything else and just be alone with God. So prayer is solitude. How can you be alone with God? If you read the Gospels, you'll realize that Jesus has two main flows or rhythms to his life. He gets away to a quiet place or a lonely place, some Bible translations say, and prays and connects with his Father, and then he does ministry down in the valley with the people. But he's always getting away. So think about prayer as solitude. My encouragement would be for you to get away for a half day or a day, a couple times a year, and just spend it with God. Now, for some people, I realize this is frightening. Like, what am I supposed to do for 5 hours? Just sit there with my hands folded and my eyes closed? What? That sounds like misery. Well, Brian, you're not supposed to say that. This is about prayer and God and all that kind of stuff. The point is, find your own quiet place. You know, if it's not an abbey, fine. If it's a nature walk, fine. Then go do that. If it's a closet in your house, fine. But whatever it is, find a place of solitude and be alone with God. Now, for guys especially, the thought of sitting still for more than 20 minutes, how many of you have trouble with this? You're pretty much every man in the room. Good. Guys, look, we're wired to be active. And my encouragement for you as it relates to prayer, and ladies, some of you, you're more active type people. I don't want to exclude here, but if you're a more active type person, then get out and walk and pray. I can do that? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, get out and walk and pray. Now, here's the deal. If you're going to do what I'd call prayer walking, please do not take your iPhone. Leave your earbuds at home. How are you going to hear the voice of God if you've got Metallica screaming in your ear, whatever it is that you listen to? But, I mean, the goal is as you are walking, you pray. I mean, some people would do what's called intercessory prayer. So you're praying for other people. And as you walk along in your neighborhood, you pray for your neighbor. You pray for your children. You pray for your wife. You pray for your husband. You pray for your renovation group. You pray for your church. You pray for the world. You pray for world leaders and even the ones that you don't like. But the goal is as you walk along, you pray. You get alone with God. You unplug from all of the stuff, all of the stimuli that are part of your life, and you pray. And for some people, to be honest, for me, this is a whole lot easier way for me to pray sometimes than the whole let's contemplate. And let's sit there in silence. To be active in doing something while praying at the same time, great way to pray. You might also use a reflection piece. Maybe you use creation. Maybe if you're a nature sort of buff, you can go to Red River Gorge, get some pretty good views about who God is and God's love for people and God's love for creation. Maybe you use a painting. I am not an artist, never will be. Occasionally I can draw a crowd. I can definitely draw flies in water. But, you know, the point is you can use an art piece also as a piece of reflection. This is one of my favorite paintings by a guy named William Holman Hunt. It's called Light of the World. And as I look at this painting, and I'm going to do this exercise here with you for a couple of minutes, I think about Revelation 3:20. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says to us, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." You know, as I look at this painting, it stirs a prayer for me. You might consider in this area above Jesus' shoulder, the day's breaking. It's dawn. Well, what happens at dawn? Resurrection happens at dawn. John chapter 20 tells us that on the first day of a new week at dawn, the women go to the tomb and the tomb is empty. Jesus is raised from the dead. And as we look at a painting like this, we might reflect on where is there deadness in my life? Where do I need newness of life? Where do I need the light of Christ? And I want to encourage you right now, I mean, we're talking about prayer, so we might as well do it. Let's pray. Where is that in your life? You don't have to close your eyes. If you don't want to close your eyes, it's okay. But just look at the painting and reflect and ask God to reveal to you, where might there be deadness? We'll take about 30 seconds and do that. Now, in this painting also, if you look at the bottom, be your right-hand corner, you notice that there are some apples laying on the ground. I know it's kind of tough to see. But there's some apples laying on the ground. Now, while the man and the woman did not eat an apple in the Garden of Eden, it was probably a pomegranate, but that's a story for another day. If we think about Genesis chapter 3 and where sin enters into the world, if we look in our lives, there are always remnants of sins, of shortcomings, of things that separate us from God. And as we think about prayer, part of prayer is confession. So what are those areas in your life that fall short? What are those areas in your life where there's sin? Where this past week have you hurt God or hurt somebody else? Let's take a moment, we'll think and reflect and pray on that. Maybe the last part we can draw attention to is the fact that there's a door. Obviously, Jesus is knocking on it, but next to the door, there's a collection of weeds. And see if you can find the handle on the outside of the door. Do you see a handle? There isn't one. I'll just kind of make it easier for you. Very interesting. When it comes to prayer, when it comes to our life in Christ, I want you to realize lots of people ask me, Brian, how does God enter into my life more? How do I hear God's voice? Is there such a thing as hearing God's voice at all? Or is this just for, you know, the mystics or people who hang out at an abbey or this sort of thing? I want you to realize that when it comes to our life in Christ, the door is always locked from the inside. And what I love about this painting is we look at the weeds that are gathered on the outside as we remember that there's no handle for Jesus to open the door. The door is always locked on the inside. And in this painting, what it sort of reminds us of, or what it could remind us of, is that weeds can grow on the outside of our door if we're not opening it up to the work of God in our own lives. And that's always dependent upon us. If you truly want a free choice, something that's dependent upon you when it comes to prayer, it's are you willing to be open to open yourself up to God? The rest, I can't promise you results the way that you want, but I can promise you that you'll encounter God. You think about Job and the book of Job. Everybody says, oh, Job, he was so patient. No, he wasn't. But he did encounter God. And the more you open the door, the wider you open the door, the more God begins to seep into your life. It was funny. This past week, I took a little trip down memory lane. My mom had saved for me a copy of my college undergrad application. And one of the questions asked something like, tell us about your religious life, because I went to a religious affiliated undergrad college. And I said in the answer, I'm not a religious person at all. And I said, you know, I think we should do nice things for other people, but religion really isn't my thing. I think I had a lot of weeds on the outside of my door, yes? Yeah, but what's amazing is somehow, because Jesus is always knocking. Jesus is always knocking. You can't shut him out. You might be able to shut the door, but he's always going to be on the other side knocking. He keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. You open the door just a little bit. You start to pray just a little bit, and things begin to happen. And you open the door a little bit wider, and maybe you begin serving. You open the door a little bit wider, and maybe you get involved in a renovation group. You open the door a little bit wider, and you open yourself up a little bit more, and who knows what might happen in your life. You might hear a call that says, Brian, you're going to be a pastor someday. And I want you to minister the word, and I want you to love and lead my people, and I want you to bring revival everywhere you go. I mean, that's, I think, what prayer is all about. How can we open ourselves up? How can we open the door of our lives so Christ can come in and work in us? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that in something as simple as a piece of art, we can see your face, we can recognize your work in our lives. Forgive us for where we fall short. Heal us in the deepest places of hurt. God, we open ourselves up to you. We pray that you would be at work in us. We ask this in and through the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. So I think that sometimes in our prayer life or in our spiritual life, in our relationship with Christ, we kind of tune him out, don't we? We begin to, like, in many of our relationships, we just begin to, you know, tune him out, and we think that we don't need to listen to him, that that our prayer life is just something that we just have to talk to God, and we just have to talk to God, and he's listening, and he's going to answer our prayers, but we don't take time to listen to God, right? And so my question to you is, how do we build a relationship with Christ? How do we build this relationship up with him if we're not willing to listen to him, right? Think about your spouse or your brother or your best friend and how much you know about that person, how much you've learned about that person over the years, over the months, and how much you know about them because of the stories they've told you, because of the life experiences you've shared with them, or because of just everything that you've done together. Everything that you know about them is because you've listened to them, right? With your spouse, if you've tuned out your wife or if you've tuned out your husband, odds are they're probably not going to be too happy with you, or they're just you're not going to know their heart, right? So my question to you is, with Christ, isn't it in a lot of ways, isn't it the same? If we're not listening to God, how are we going to know his heart? So I think that in our prayer life, we need to not only pray and talk to God, but we need to take that time to listen to him. And so what I don't mean by listening to God is clearing your mind and, you know, just, you know, sitting there and just, you know, all right, God, talk to me. You know, because I think a lot of us, we expect God to come like this booming voice out of the sky, kind of like the scene in Lion King where Mufasa's in the sky and Simba's listening. It's like, Simba, remember who you are, right? Or something like that, right? We kind of have this like, yeah, right? You deliberately disobeyed me. I like using that one in Little Peep sometimes. I'm kidding. Sorry. But, you know, I think we sometimes have this experience where we just expect God to come out of the sky with his booming voice and to tell us what to do, tell us how to act, tell us what to be, and that's not how it's always going to be, right? I think more of this time of silence where we listen for God, where we listen for his voice, is just a time to search your own heart. What struggles are you going through? What is happening in your life? What do you need to hand back over to God? What is it that you're holding on to that you're refusing to let go of? And maybe you don't even realize it. And that's why I think this time of silence in prayer is so important, because sometimes you don't even realize what it is you're being selfish about or what it is you're holding on to and refusing to let go. So you take that time to be quiet, to be still, and hand that over to God. And one of the key ways to do this, to have this dialogue with God, to have this time of silence with God, I think a key way of this is in your posture, because so many of us, we have this idea of Jesus being like our buddy or our bro. You know, it's like, hey, God, what's up? Hey, Jesus, what's going on? You know, and, you know, and we lose this respect and we lose this reverence for God, for Christ, because of our posture, because we're not willing to go before him and understand that he's the creator of the universe, that he's the creator of, he's the be-all, right? The Alpha and the Omega. And so we have this idea of him just being our buddy and our bro. And so I think because of that, we don't go to him in our prayer life the way that we're supposed to. For many of us, I think our prayer life is a time that we You know, maybe we pray while we're in bed, you know, about to fall asleep after a long day, and you're, you know, you're already nodding off, and you're thinking, all right, well, I can pray to God now. You know, I have time. I finally have time to pray. And then you just fall asleep, and you don't even really get into your prayer. Or maybe your prayer life is tonight during the Super Bowl, right? Maybe your prayer life is, all right, God, come on, you know, and wanting to see Manning do well, or wanting to see Cam Newton, you know, run for another touchdown or something. Maybe that's your prayer life. Or, you know, maybe your prayer life is just, you know, that time in front of the TV, you know, during commercials or something. And you think, all right, well, I can talk to God real quick right now. And that mindset of talking to God real quick, you know, is just something that I think we've gotten confused about and started to misunderstood because we see Jesus as our buddy and as our bro. You know, you need to take time in your day to pray, to sit there in silence, to listen to God. And like I said, it's a lot about posture. Our posture when we pray is so important. I have some of my best prayer is, you know, going on long walks or going for a run and praying to God. But there's just something about just being on your knees, you know, before Christ, just submitting everything to him and just saying, Christ, I love you, and my life without you is nothing because I need you to guide my life. I need to surrender myself to you. Right? It's that time on your knees. It's that time in submission to Christ where you begin to see true transformation, where you begin to truly see him work in your life, and you begin to know more of who he is. You know, last week we talked about Scripture, and we talked about knowing his word. And this time in prayer is when you get to meditate on his word, meditate on his character, and understand more of who he is. And so I'd like for us to take a little bit here just kind of read over. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. And it's this reverence that I want to get across to you all today. You know, all of this has led up to this reverence we have for God. A lot of people say, yeah, I respect God. You know, I have a respect for God. But this reverence goes further. Reverence is not only respect, but it's worship, right? We not only have to respect God, but he deserves our hearts, right? He deserves us to worship him. And that's how we get to know him deeper. And so, you know, you want to approach God. You want to approach him reverently and humbly. And, you know, being on your knees like that, it's just, it's a sign of total surrender that, God, I give everything to you. And so this starts with each of us in our own homes, on our own time, going and just praying to God when you make the time to. And going before him on your knees, going before him, how, you know, not however you feel most comfortable, but how it is he wants us to come before him. It's not a comfort level thing. Praying to God isn't supposed to be comfortable. It's supposed to be humbling. It's supposed to be something that puts us, that takes us out of our comfort zone because that's where growth happens. That's where transformation happens. And I love this verse. I love Hebrews 12:28. You know, and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You know, I think that our culture has begun to lose this reverence and lose this awe. And I want to challenge you all. We're going to take about a minute here. And I want to challenge you all to just pray to God however you feel most uncomfortable. you know, so if you've, over this next minute, and a minute, I understand, does not do it justice, but this is just like, we're not here to just spoon feed you, but we're supposed to make you hungry, right? So this minute, I just want you to pray to God, take the time, and understand more of his character. Search your heart for what it is you're holding on to.
for your character, for your unwavering character, for who you are and who you've made us to be. We thank you for your continuous knocking. We thank you for the fact that you come into our lives and you want to grow us and you want to change us and you want to make us who it is you've created us to be, that you want to mold us into just more of your character, Jesus, that we follow you with all of our hearts. And God, I ask that during this time of prayer, during this time of meditation, during this time of silence where we're seeking our hearts and seeking you, that you reveal to us what it is we're holding on to, what it is we're refusing to let go of and not handing over to you. We love you. It's in your name, Christ. Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to close out by touching on a few things. Am I on? The first thing I want to talk about is sacred space. Brian had already talked about some different ways that we can enter into a time of prayer, maybe going on a walk of some sort. But I think there's also value in finding a sacred space, whether it be in your home or in your workplace or wherever you spend a lot of your time. It can be any of those options. Admittingly, there's a lot of times I spend praying on the road while I'm driving. Now, that's not a sacred space. That's not what I want to illustrate for you. But usually it's caused by me getting out the door late or, you know, just having to grab a protein bar on the way out and waking up late and not taking the time like I would choose to be able to go into that sacred space. So I end up praying on the road. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you pray, if you're on the road a lot, you're driving and you're praying in the car, please, by all means, pray in your car. I mean, I don't think you can pray too often. But I don't think our prayer life should be exclusive to those kinds of experiences. Because I don't think that you can replace the kind of moments that you can have where you can be isolated. You know, when you're praying in a car or something like that, to me, it's a lot like trying to have a conversation with your wife with a football game on. Right? There's all these things happening. Has anybody ever seen the movie War Room? Has anybody seen that movie yet? One of the things I really liked about the movie is how she had created the sacred space, and she turned her closet into like this prayer closet. And she would like stick post-it notes on the wall to remind her of, you know, who or what she needed to be praying for. And she put a little chair in there. And she always knew that when she entered into that closet, that that was her space. And it was a way to just kind of put you in that frame of reference. I like to use candles. We're in the process of creating kind of a prayer room in our home. I like to set up candles. I like scented candles. You walk into the room automatically. That odor, it kind of puts you into that frame of mind that you want to be in. It kind of sets the mood. As soon as you walk into that space, it's consistent. I'll try to find a consistent time to do it. I think that's kind of important. It try to develop that discipline for us. We already talked about some different elements of prayer, prayers of worship, prayers of thanksgiving, repentance, intercession, supplication. What we haven't really talked about are prayers of lament. If you look through the book of Psalms, you will find many examples of how these heartfelt cries are lifted up to God. So I want to encourage you, if you're going through some struggles in your life and you feel like that you can't lift those up to God, please know God knows your heart. Right? You can't hide them from him. If you're upset with God or if you're angry with God, pretending that those feelings don't exist isn't going to help you work through those. God wants you to bring these prayers of lament to God so that it's therapeutic. This is how God helps us to work through these times in our life. Brian mentioned kind of a memory tool. Axe is the one he mentioned earlier. This is the one I like to follow. It's P-R-A-Y, praise, repentance, ask, and yield. And rather than getting into the details of this, I really just want to kind of to use this as a springboard to get us into the main topic that I want to cover, and that is the yield portion of our prayer life. This is the one that's most often neglected. This is kind of where Travis was going. This is what he was talking about, giving ourselves room to allow God to speak to us, because it's not a monologue, right? It's a two-way conversation. So yielding to God provides a platform to allow God to respond, to kind of just sit back and say, all right, God, this is this is what I've got to say. Now, where are you at? Speak to me. Your servant is listening. And I think that maybe it's the cynical side of us that wants to fight or resist this notion that we can have a conversation with God or that God can speak to us. It almost makes us feel like, well, maybe I'm just being superstitious here. But if we're serious about our faith, then we certainly should be serious about the possibility of God speaking to us. And it may not be audible. He may not be speaking out loud. He speaks to us through a number of different ways, whether it be through our thoughts, through Scripture. He may speak to you audibly. I certainly don't want to tie his hands. And I like how Richard Foster puts it. God speaks in many ways, and we need to learn to listen for his voice. Normally, his voice is not audible, but I wouldn't want to exclude that possibility. Who am I to say how God will choose to speak? And the truth is, if we believe Scripture, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, according to Paul, if we read in Romans, prays on our behalf. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know that what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. This is powerful stuff. Have you ever gone to God in prayer and not known what to say? Have you ever been so heavy that when you go to God in prayer, you know that you need to be there, but you just don't have the words to speak? I take comfort in knowing that, you know what? I don't have to say anything. Because God is present, and God knows what's going on in my heart. This is called contemplation. It's a lot like if you looked at a mother as she holds her newborn child. And you mothers know what I'm talking about. And when a mother stares into the eyes of her child, they're having communication, although they're not exchanging words. It's called a divine gaze. They're staring deep into each other's eyes and they're speaking, but they're not saying anything. So this is what contemplation does for us. It gives us an opportunity to provide that platform for God to speak to our hearts. So what we want to try to do is try to block the world out. Again, find that sacred space. Try to clear your thoughts. Try to focus in on God's presence. But it's really important, and this is a learned practice, that we must be able to leave the world outside, because it's all of those things that race in our minds that cloud out that still quiet voice of God and capture our attention. So we want to try to learn how to escape that. But that's what I'm talking about. You know, it wouldn't be nice if you could just snap your fingers and that would happen, you know? But we know that's not true. This is a something that takes practice. It's something that you can't just dive into. Don't get frustrated with it, and it's not for everybody. Brian mentioned earlier, you know, this is not something that he does a lot of. This is not his thing. It may not be your thing. We're just trying to give you some options, some alternatives, and I'm certainly not suggesting that, you know, you're going to become more righteous if you do this and less righteous if you don't. But consider carving out some time and trying this. Don't just try it once or twice, but give it a few weeks. At the very least, I think that you're going to find some physical benefits on taking the time to do this. But what I want to suggest to you is you go in and, you know, light some candles, find that sacred space, find a centering word. Close your eyes and find a centering word or phrase. For me, my phrase is Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. Yours could be Abba or Jesus, whatever it is. And that centering phrase is what's going to bring you back when you feel your mind start to drift and to wander, and it will. When those thoughts start coming in and you start worrying about, you know, what you're going to pack the kids for lunch or how you're going to meet this deadline, when those thoughts start to enter in, go back to this centering phrase. Focus on your breathing. Slow in, out. Repeating this phrase. Sometimes it helps to reflect on an image like Brian was showing earlier. Only I like to put an image up, and I'll kind of gaze into it for a moment and allow it to burn into my memory. And then when I close my eyes, it's still in my mind's eye. So I'm still thinking about the image that I'm reflecting on. I'm saying these phrases. I'm breathing slowly, and I'm just waiting. just being aware of being in God's presence. And I'm focusing on that presence and understanding that God's presence isn't just merely in the room with me, although I truly believe that God's presence is woven throughout the fabric of all creation. But his presence is not just in the room with me, it's what? It's in me. Merton calls this our true self. So when we reflect on God's presence, reflect inward and understand that the Holy Spirit lives within you. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, something cool is happening. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit are bonded and we join together. And when we go into a time of contemplation, that becomes real to us, hopefully. That's our goal. So I want to try to walk us through a practice of this, if you would join me in this. And what I'm going to do is here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I want you to pick a centering phrase. And if you have an image that you would like to focus on, if you have an image of Jesus, or maybe you'd like to focus on the image that Brian showed us earlier, I don't want to create that image for you. I want that to be up to you. I want the centering phrase to be up to you. And we're just going to sit in silence for about a minute, and we're going to try to get a feel for what this looks like. You guys ready? All right, let's go ahead and close our eyes. Jesus, guide our hearts now as we prepare to enter in to a moment of silence and solitude, that it can be solitude for us, that we can be one-on-one with you at this moment and reflect on your presence. Speak to our hearts. As our eyes remain closed, I just want to mention that when you first try this exercise, start with 5 minutes and gradually add to that time until it becomes more comfortable for you. But in the same spirit of contemplation, if you would allow me, I'd like to take you on a journey. So if you keep your eyes closed, and in your mind, I want you to imagine a building, a two-story building with a set of rustic stairs leading up to the top floor with an outside door. And as you walk up these stairs, you open the door and you enter into the space. And as you walk in, you see Jesus sitting at the table, surrounded by his disciples. And Jesus invites you in. And he waves you to come closer. And as you walk closer to Jesus, he stands. And he places his hand on your shoulder. And he says, "I'm so glad you came." And he stares into your eyes. And right at that moment, you realize, as he gazes into your eyes and you gaze back, that you're staring not at the eyes of a man, but the eyes of God himself. And it humbles your heart. Then you see him pick up a loaf of bread, and he breaks it. And he looks at you, and he says, "Child of God, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he reaches down and he picks up a chalice and he looks at you and he says, "Child of God, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we pray that you'll pour out your Spirit over these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we can be your body redeemed by your blood for the world outside. We ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.